the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, 503-733-2970. Someday we'll have a liner here that are... Don't give them the phone number. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Make a buddy listening day. It's the... it's a joke. And so forth. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. We're here with Sarah X. Dillon. Tim Riley, the City Desk. We'll get to him in just a moment. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, as they say, we'll have Jim Roop from CNN Radio. We'll talk about this disgraced politician whose assets were seized and then auctioned off in public. I don't know who the politician is. I don't care. It's just a guy we can laugh at. That's all that matters to me. We'll get to that. Coming up at the 2 o'clock hour, we'll talk to William Carlton, who's that guy. We had him on a whole bunch of, not last year. I got to quit saying last year, but... in the last incarnation of the show, that was almost a little Jesse Jackson. Iteration, incarnation, protestation. Can only ever do three. Can never think of a fourth. We had him on all the time. He was talking about breaking this missile command record. And apparently they've made a documentary film about it now. And so we'll have him on later to talk about that, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. Okay, now we have an answer. I'm just going to read a couple of these emails. We have an answer on the... on the stringy milk question. And also, somebody sent us the YouTube video of that woman being tasered. Now, but do you remember if it's clean, Tim?
Oh, I don't
I think
remember.
She's just doing a lot of unholy shrieking. I never think she's able to form
any... If there was any dialogue, the screaming would have been too loud.
Well, I don't know. We'll try to get to it before the bottom of the hour. I think we got to check and make sure that it's clean. Rick, is a YouTube video of the woman being tasered. Glad to be back. You got me through high school. God, that makes me feel old. I mean, on the one hand, it's great.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. But on the other hand, and I'm not complaining about it, but it does make me feel, not old, but it does.
Creeping toward middle age.
It does make me feel the passing of time, actually, because we've been on for this show's been on for 8 years now, coming up on 8 years this year. And I have met now several people who, in the time that this show has been on the air, they have left, like, middle school, started high school. Think about all the stuff you went through in high school. Think about everything that happened to you in high school. Because you go into high school and you come out a totally different person. You know, maybe you learned to drive and you got a job and you got a girlfriend and you had sex and, you know, all this stuff. You drank for the first time and whatever. And, you made lists of, you know, classmates to kill and everything that we all did. I talk to people a lot now. Who, in the time this show has been on the air, they started high school, completed high school, finished high school, went to college, are now leaving college. And it's bizarre to hear. I'll hear from people every now and again that they say, like, they went, that I listened to you every day all the way through high school, which is bizarre. I mean, you don't, I shouldn't go on and on about my emeritus years or anything, but it's a thing you don't really think about until it gets put to you that way. Anyway, he says, you got me through high school, and now you make college bearable. Joe, a gamer college student living on Mountain Dew. All right.
And, you know, back in my day, kids listened to DJs who spoke to kids locally, went to high school and played basketball.
Yep.
And now, well, they have us.
Rick, Sarah will feel something if the baby bites down while being tasered. Yeah, Dan of Vancouver.
I will never have to worry about that.
Let's see. You know, you wanted to know how you can get pregnant? It's by saying out loud, I will never get pregnant. I will. That's like on Gilligan's Island. I won't dress as a woman. I won't. And then there's Gilligan in a dress.
All right, well, then I didn't say that.
Let's see. Rick, it turns out that the guy I work with made your Geek Watch intro a while back. Also, Bob Harlow says you're a great guy. Jay. I'm getting random emails now. Where was the email I was finding? Let's see. They're all sending me the taser woman here.
All you gotta do is ask.
Let's see. Pam and Celine Dion, Aaron. Ah, here we go. Okay, this is just a blatant attempt to hear his theme again. Here's a new theme. So Aaron Geek in the City has sent us this, and I'm going to do his theme at the end of the emails from now on. So Aaron Geek in the City has emailed in, and he said, the stringy milk comment, we were talking about the phrase stringy milk and wondering where that came from. Now, would you say that's the most horrific phrase we use, Sarah?
No, I'm saying you saying that... Me and Tim in matching Speedos with him sitting on my lap.
While you're breastfeeding.
While I'm breastfeeding a child is pretty bad.
He says...
Not the Tim part, but the whole baby clamps on the breast part.
He said it was from the story of Starbucks opening in China. He said, if you remember, they have to import their milk because all they have are yaks. And yaks have stringy milk. And then he puts five or six more times for good measure, stringy milk. That's from Aaron, Geek in the City.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Let's check in at the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS Radio presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. A boy is shot for walking on a lawn. An Ohio man whose neighbors say was devoted to his meticulously kept lawn has been charged with murder and the shooting of a 15-year-old boy who apparently crossed his yard. A 911 tape recording goes like this. I just killed a kid. You just killed a kid? Yes, ma'am. Later, the operator asked Martin to explain what happened. Martin said, kids have been giving me a bunch of expletive, making the other kids harass me at my place, tearing things up. The operator said, okay, so what did you do? Martin said, I shot him with an expletive 410 shotgun twice. You shot him with a shotgun? Where is he? He's lying in his yard. Neighbors say Martin lived alone, often sitting in front of his one-story house of his neatly kept lawn, well-trimmed shrubbery, and a flagpole with the U.S. and Navy flags flying together.
Okay, first of all...
The victim is a good kid.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm not saying... I'm going to be very clear about this. Yeah. I'm not saying it's right to kill a guy, you know, a kid who's messing with your lawn. But, I mean, first of all, a guy who has both an American flag and a Navy flag, it's like a guy... Adam Carolla made this observation. It's like a guy with, you know, a Confederate flag flying in front of his house. You know, he's drunk.
For your freedom.
You know, he's drunk and he's got a gun. And so you just don't screw with him. So some old, like an old guy, and you know he's got the anchor tattoos with like mother, you know, and like a heart. You don't screw with that guy. Especially because, I mean, has nobody made the joke all day? Nobody's made the obvious, get off my lawn. Well, like, where do you think that cliche comes from? Old guys don't want you effing with their lawn. You screw with an old guy, and every block, this is, I wonder about old guys sometimes, and I'll tell you what I'm talking about, because, and maybe you all think about this too, I, like many of you, and again, it's not that I obsess on getting older, it's not that I obsess about age as such, but I do sort of look towards what the ensuing years hold for me as a person. And in terms of my personal development and my appearance and all of that, now you know that I've talked about my hair and the fact that I've got the emasculating march of disfiguring baldness is happening to me with every passing day. You know, now that I'm back on the air, by the way, I got to take advantage of that medical hair restoration thing. Well, you know, when I was unemployed, I regretted not doing that because they were talking to me about doing the hair. You know, where they put the hair back on your head. And I passed on it, thinking, well, I can always do it again later. And it was like a week later that they fired me. Mm-hmm. I totally should have taken advantage of that. So now that we're back on, I'm totally going to get the hookup with the medical hair restoration.
Okay, and colon cleansing.
Yeah, I want to go to hydrotherapy again.
So there you go. So from head to tail, we'll all be taken care of. But, I think about my hair loss and all that. The other thing I think about is... I think about the fact that no matter who you are, no matter what you look like, whether you look like, Sarah, Tim, myself.
I have an abundance of hair.
I'm not talking, you bastard. I'm not talking about your hair. You and Clyde.
Yeah, Tim and I can take the clippings from our next haircut and glue them to your head.
I'm not talking about hair, you sons of bitches. I'm talking about the fact, you a-holes, that no matter who you are, and no matter what you do in this life, there only seems to be two or three different archetypes of old people that exist. In other words, for example, we all know, because we've seen it so often it's become a cliche, that the old guys wear their pants up at their nipples. Now, why is that? Do you know what I mean? It's like Tim, you know now, I mean, you know, as you know, he's a relatively young man still, just like myself, we know not to wear our pants pulled up to the middle of our chest. We know it's not a thing you should do. When you're 20, you know that you shouldn't do that. When you're 50, you know you shouldn't do it. There's some twilight area between like 65 and 70 where the part of your brain that forgets that you shouldn't yank your pants up to your nipples wastes away.
Kind of like when you cut your hair really short when you're an older woman and get like a permanent...
Right. When did there be some rule that women can't have their hair down as they get older? I've already told my wife, too. I thought, I'm like, because I've seen her mom and her aunt, and I'm like, you are forbidden. You cannot turn into that. Look, the time comes for us all. We all age. You're not cutting your hair and curling it and dyeing it blue and getting a perm and walking. You can't. I forbid it. There's no reason you have to. But there does, you hit some age when you're like 67, 68, where the part of your brain that remembers how to dress correctly atrophies. And so by the time we're 70, we all look alike. We all dress alike. That's why all old people wear the pants way up high. That's why all old women cut their hair and they dye it to some bizarre chartreuse color. That's why all old people leave the turn indicator on for like an hour and a half. So, you know, like that guy in Memento where he had to write... Remember in Memento he had to write notes to himself, don't trust John G. And he had to tattoo his wife's name. I'm going to get some tattoos on my body and it's going to be like, pants go here. And I'm gonna tattoo a line right below my navel and above my private area, above my swimsuit area.
No, I had to help you with the pants. You had some long crotches on your pants.
And and even now it's starting to fall apart, but I'm gonna tattoo...
No, you're doing good now. You've got the good genes.
I'm gonna tattoo a line right below my navel and it's gonna be pants go here.
That is an excellent idea.
And that's what it's gonna be, because I'm not gonna be that old guy. And I'm already planning my wardrobe too. I've been thinking about this. When I'm old, and I'm leaning this way already in my wardrobe, when I'm old, I'm going to wear nothing but black. Because an old guy who wears, like, black slacks, like some decent black slacks, black shirt, you look stylish. Not
black
fancy.
Black never goes out of style.
You can't. That's what I'm saying. You don't look fancy. You know, you don't look like you're trying to keep up with the trend, but that you can never go wrong. Like, Sarah, if you saw an older guy, 65-year-old guy, 70-year-old guy, you know, whatever, and he's just wearing the black, he's got black shoes, black slacks, black golf shirt, something like that, You can't go wrong with that.
You've got to make sure the shades match.
Well, you know what I'm... Yeah, but I mean...
No, because some men try to look distinguished, and they're wearing, like, the faded black sweater with the black pants. Got to match the black.
As long as it's
totally
all relatively new.
Yes.
But, I mean, because otherwise you're going to be like my typing teacher who showed up in, like purple pants and a green shirt, and, you know, and then later they put him in a happy hole. And it's like, you don't... So I think about this thing of the guy, you know, the get-off-my-lawn old guy... Because all old guys end up, like we all end up that way. So I don't know what it is. It's just strange that no matter who you are in your earlier life, we all end up as the guy with pants at his nipples telling kids to get off our lawn. It's like, it's what waits for us all unless you take steps now to stop it. So anyway, the point is get off his lawn or he'll kill you.
Or get cobblestones to get rid of the lawn.
Or something like that. You don't want to screw with that guy. So I'm not saying I'm glad the kid is dead. I'm not saying he deserved it. But I mean, you know, you mess with the bull, you get the horns. So
there you go. All right. Do we have anything else? Here's a little Oregon story that made it all the way to BBC News. Oregon's prison system is turning to computer games to help rehabilitate felons. Inmates who had a clean disciplinary record for 18 months and now begin a chance to buy a small handheld game console. The gadget has 50 simple games on board that can be played through small TVs fixed in cells. The Oregon State Prison System said the gadgets also help to stem some of the trouble incarceration often provokes. The game gadgets made by technology firm Dream Gear have been introduced to Oregon's Correctional Institute as part of a larger incentive program that that helps prepare prisoners for life outside of jail.
All right.
Let's see. After 6 months of clean conduct, inmates get a chance to buy a 7-inch LCD screen with a cable hookup in their cell. Inmates earn the money for the tiny TV that costs $300 via wages.
Isn't this just another thing you can bludgeon somebody with? Isn't that really... This is a thing with glass and sharp edges that you can shove into a guy? That's kind of what all... everything in prison is either used to bludgeon a guy or it's used to, it's used to violate somebody. That's it, you know, or defile them into a shiv. I've seen enough Oz. I know how things go in the big house. I know how things go in Stir.
Over 809 consoles were sold to inmates last year, making Oregon prisons among the safest in the nation. The TVs, music players, and game gadgets are part of a larger program that tried to modify prison behavior and make rehabilitation easier.
Oh, please. No disrespect, you know, to, like, what was that guy, Dimitri, who called yesterday, and he couldn't listen to us on Monday because he was in lockup. He was in Stir.
You need to go to a state prison.
Yeah, let's just be honest. A vast majority of the guys, you know, if you're, unless you're one of the people who've been rounded up by our government or the, you know, the war on plants, really, most of the people in prison, It's just, they're not very bright. They're not going to get any brighter. They're just, you know, some people are just born to be losers. I mean, you've heard of born to lose? Some people are born to be losers. And the vast amount of the people in there, you're just not going to do it. You're not going to change that. You're not really going to do. It's like I was hearing that, you know, that lotteries for entertainment purposes only not to be played for purposes of investment. You know, I was thinking about this lottery not to be played for purposes of investment thing. And I was thinking that they really should take that disclaimer off there at the end. Because it's sort of a self-regulatory system then. Because if you think about it, the people who would play the lottery for investment, because all the lottery money goes to schools, right?
Allegedly.
Yes, theoretically. The lottery money all goes to schools, right? So, and it all goes to support children. So, you and I, look, we can speak the truth here. The people who need that disclaimer, the people who would think that the lottery is meant for purposes of investment, those are the same people who always end up having the most kids anyway, and you know that's true. You know, because the dumber you are, the more kids you have. And that is an unassailable, unchangeable, unchallengeable, non-malleable fact of existence. You know, as the IQ goes down, sperm count and fertility go way, way up. And the propensity for, you know, passing up a pack of rubbers at 7-Eleven and just getting it on, you know, Catholic style at home, that goes through the roof. So the dumber you are, the more kids you're going to have. And so I figure the dumb people really ought to be using the lottery for purposes of investment because it's their kids that are filling up the schools and pushing the rest of us onto the brink of financial disaster anyway. And no amount of Oprah feel-goodery is going to change that fact. So we should break here. We come back. We'll play you some terrible, terrible production music that I hold right here in my hands. We will also have Jim Roop from Los Angeles. This hour, we'll get to the top five. And we will also have William Carlton, who is attempting to set a missile command world record. We'll find out how that went for him. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You stay right there. Back after this. Show live from Portland.
Yo.
Thank you for coming by. 503. I'm sorry. I just heard one of the engineers in the hallway. Somebody said, "Hi, how are you, Ted?" And he said, "I'm keeping it gangsta." Like without a trace of irony.
Yes, he had to be kidding.
I don't think so. 503-733-2970.
I'm drinking a Diet Dr. Pepper. It makes me all perky.
Throwing up gang signs over there? You're pounding your chest.
No, I keep... There's a lot of air. Carbonation. I keep burping.
Okay.
Sorry.
503-733-2970. I got a long explanation about stringy milk in humans. Would you like to hear about it?
No, thanks.
I'm just going to give you some keywords. Lactating. Sour. Extruded.
See, you're punishing Tim, too. He doesn't like stringy milk.
Listen, now I have to start from the beginning again. Here's random keywords from this email about stringy milk in humans.
Okay.
Lactating. Sour. Extruded, nozzle, Play-Doh, bilious curds.
I guess that's just one vocabulary lesson for today.
Yes, it's part of the new flavor of the Northwest, or whatever it is that we
the
are.
The spirit of the Northwest.
Okay. All right. I'm not gonna make any observations. I'm not gonna make any jokes. It's two companies ago. I'm not going to make any cake jokes.
Oh, yeah.
No, there was a whole unemployment spirit, blah, blah, blah. When am I going to go there? Where am I going? Let's see. Line. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is a fellow co-worker of yours from back in the day over at Entercom, and wanted to say congratulations on being back in the air. It's about damn time.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
I recognize this voice.
This is our good friend Big Soup from, you are still 1080 The Fan?
We are still over there, and we had a little feud there between my show and the lovely Rick Emerson Show. But despite all that feud, I listen to you every day. I think you're one of the best things on the radio in Portland, and I was sad when you left Entercom, but I am very glad to was flipping through the dial the other day and heard Sarah's voice and then heard yours, and it's, as I said, it's about damn time you get back on the air, and I listen to you every day on my way into work. I think you do a great job.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. And you know what? And again, you know, whatever dust up, whatever feud we had, the fact is your show, our show, we were still head and shoulders smarter than everything else in that building. Let's call a spade a spade.
I appreciate it.
You know what I'm talking
about. Like I said, I'm tickled to death. I was just randomly flipping through. I had no idea you were coming back, and I actually heard Sarah's voice when I was just driving around. I kind of stopped and was like, hey, that sounds familiar, and then I heard yours, and I haven't missed a show since. I listen to it every day on my way in, and keep up the good work. You're one of Portland's true treasures. I always enjoy listening to you, man.
Excellent, brother. Well, thank you so much, and you stay in touch, man. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah.
All right, take it easy. All right, there you go. There's Jason Big
Soup. That was just so nice.
Sports Radio 1080. There you go. God love him.
I know.
Good time. I feel like we all need to hug now. I feel like we all need to go out and bond together. Merry Christmas, y'all. Savings and loan. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Derek.
Hi, Derek. How can I help you on this fine Tuesday?
Much like the last caller, I just wanted to say how excited I am to find you guys back on the air.
Much like the last caller, are you also an Entercom employee who listens every day?
No, I'm not.
Oh,
I
okay.
only listen periodically, but whenever I can, and I will do what I can to rearrange my schedule to afford more time to hear it now.
God bless you. Now, are you spreading the word, Derek?
I am. And I was before.
Then
I think by the time I had convinced people, there was no one there for them to turn to.
There was a point when spreading the word was just sort of a theoretical concept. It was just sort of an academic conceit. When is the last time you spread the word?
When you were previously on the air. So
all right.
I heard you guys yesterday and then again today.
Excellent. So will you be spreading the word today?
Of course. You have mystical abilities in my mind because I can listen to a show that's largely sometimes about bodily fluids, but when it's over, I still feel like I've had an intellectual experience.
Well, you know, we are the Rick Emerson Show, and I forget who first used this phrase. We are, this show is either dumb filtered through smart or smart filtered through dumb. I'm not really sure which it is, but it's one of the two.
Glad to have you back.
All right, Derek, you spread the word.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. There you go. All right, that's Derek. What a great couple of.
This is a feel good time.
It's the most magical day of the year.
Largely about bodily fluids, but leaves you feeling smart. Okay.
Seriously, well,
that's a good mission statement.
What the hell else are you gonna do? Sit there and listen to Ed Schultz pretend that he's Rush Limbaugh? What else are you gonna? And I mean, look, I know I do the I know I do the paper rattle from Rush, but at least you can tell us apart. You know what I mean? All right. It's 503-733-2970. I can't get over Soup Colonist. That's very cool.
I know.
There was a whole weirdness
there. That was
a
big deal. It was really uncomfortable.
When we were over at Intercom, we had a little bit of a, one of those radio DJ feuds that sometimes,
where he was actually, making fun of me on his show.
But we should be very clear in case, it was a long time ago. I'm not carrying a grudge.
We're not upset.
Everybody's clearly past it, but I'm saying that makes it all the cooler that he would call in like that and that he's listening. So thank you. So that's good. So I feel, I don't want to sound all, a little swishy about it, but I mean, that's the thing I don't have to worry about because, because you're always thinking, because radio is a small industry. You're like, mm-hmm. What if I end up working that guy again? Is there going to be some weirdness? Like, is he going to punch me in the face? Because that's a guy, he could put his fist right out the back of my skull. He's a large man.
Yeah, he's big.
He's a guy who could bend my spine into like a plexi straw kind of a thing. So I'm glad that that's cool. So,
did he say paper lunch?
Did he offer to take us to lunch?
I don't know, did he?
I thought he mentioned something about lunch.
Let's offer the free lunches.
Let's just say that he did.
Yeah.
All right, Sook, you're buying. Alright, let's see. It's 503-733-2970. What are we doing? Ladies and gentlemen, let's make way for Jim Roop in Los Angeles, broadcasting as part of CNN Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hear your theme? You got your theme rolling again?
You know, I think that was it, wasn't it?
It was. In fact, sir, can we start that from the beginning? One more time, just to celebrate it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Go ahead. Last night stealing this off the internet to put it together for you, by the way.
You're a good man.
I am. I'm not going to pay for this.
It sounds more fanciful than the other one.
It sounds like Abba's version.
I used the bridge this time. Before, I just used the pre-chorus, and I looped the pre-chorus over and over again. This time I've used the bridge.
Oh, look how talented you are.
It's what I do. It's part of the ever-unfolding mystery. It's part of, it's Rick Emerson. You'll love my new spark.
And you're a giver.
Yes, I am. Yeah. So welcome to the show today, Jim. And I have to tell you right now, when we booked you with Laura at CNN this morning, we just sort of feigned knowledge of what you were talking about. Because to be honest, I didn't really read the story. What I read is disgraced politician personal effects auction. And that's all I read. But that's all I needed to know that it was a fantastic story that would fit the flavor and tone of the Rick Emerson audience.
It's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, so lay it on me, brother. Give us the A to Z. What happened?
Well, this is Randall Duke Cunningham, who was convicted after pleading guilty of taking bribes from defense contractors.
Oh.
He had to forfeit a lot of the material, a lot of the items that were given to him as bribes.
Now, this guy took like $2 million, right?
$2.4 million worth of stuff. He evaded taxes, the whole deal. So now he not only goes to prison for up to maybe 10 years and a couple hundred thousand dollars in fines,
that's
but
fantastic.
Now all his stuff, he had to give it over to the feds. I don't know where his wife's sleeping now because he had to give the bed up. And they're going to auction this stuff off, not to pay his debt and not to pay his fine, but just so the feds can have a party.
That's good times. You know, and I got to tell you, the government, man, they ain't no fooling around with that kind of stuff. It's like with drug seizures, too. I mean, they'll take every single thing you own.
Well, even software pirating, there's a car, a Ferrari, being auctioned off in the same auction that was confiscated from a software pirate. So, I mean, anything you do, I mean, you can get everything you own taken away from you. But in this particular instance, here's an example of the fact that we let these people serve too much. I mean, Cunningham was in his eighth term as representing the 50th District in Southern California, the San Diego area. So, man, I mean, after you know, since 1990, after a while, you're going to become a little bold in taking bribes and things like that. Contractors, nonetheless.
I'd like to take this opportunity to note that all of our software is legitimate, and we have licenses for everything that's used here at CBS Radio, because we believe that intellectual property laws don't go far enough, and that we believe that software pirating and the pirating of music is an abhorrent crime and an affront to our fine way of life in this country. So I'm not using anything. So he's in prison now.
Well, I don't know that he's actually gone to jail yet. His sentencing, I think, was the 27th of last month. He may be, but I mean, it was two counts, really. It was one of conspiracy and honest services fraud. I've never heard that in my life until now. And tax evasion. So each count holds 5-year prison term on the max and about $350,000 in fines max. Plus, he has to pay all those back taxes, which is a little over $1.5 million.
So
where he is and all that, I'm not sure. All I know is they took his stuff and they're going to sell it Thursday.
My question, okay, so what, when you say stuff, so what kind of stuff are they auctioning off?
From antique furniture, some of it's reproductions, a lot of it's antique, to rugs. There's this one rug, it's 32 feet long. Now this money that he got through ill-gotten gains, he used to buy an 8,000 square foot mansion and furnish it with this stuff. So it's
bold.
Think of this. It's a 32-foot-long rug.
That's
where are you going to put that? I have no idea, but it fit his house.
Right.
I blow the things up for auction, plus all the furniture. I'm talking 36 items in the Duke Cunningham collection.
You know, I'm working at CBS Radio. They don't even let us take concert tickets anymore. I can't even get free CDs in radio.
I have to take a reporter's notebook home.
That's
Can I have one of these? Well, I don't know. How many do you have?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was just asking one of the office men, like, can I get some staples for my... You're not going to take them home, are you? You know, it's like, I was asking for like a handful of staples. Yeah, so, I mean, clearly the money is all about going to, you know, if you want to get the money, it's all about becoming, you know, a politician these days. So, let's see.
Pled guilty, so I'm sure he'll get a little break. I don't think he'll serve 10 years in prison.
Wait, we actually, now, Jim Roop, because you are a man of information, we do actually have a question from the audience. Hold on just one second.
All right.
Is this the bottom? Do I take it on the top bank or the bottom, sir?
You take it on the top. You lock it and
top
then hit
bank.
The
okay, it's locked. Hold on. Let me lock in, Jim.
It's locked? Okay.
All right, hold on. George?
I'm impressed you have two phone banks.
Hi, Jim. First, I'd like to say I really appreciate your contribution to the Rick Emerson show. It's always been tremendous. And I have a question about the defense contractors that offered the bribe.
Right.
Are they going to be parted out to the four winds like our congressman?
Oh, yeah, there are several of them that are named in the indictment that will definitely be part of this. I mean, they're all being punished also. And I'm trying to quickly find some names for you.
You could just make stuff up. We wouldn't know.
No, I can't do that. Okay. Someone's going to know.
All right.
I can't find quickly enough.
That's the thing I've noticed in the media.
They're all listed as co-conspirators.
Right. I'm just wondering, are they going to have, are they going to get like a little slap on the wrist comparative to their size? Are they going to also suffer the same level of hurt?
You know, I don't know. I'm sure that they will be slapped with fines and other. I mean, they're not going to get any more government contracts anymore. We know that. They might as well fold up shop and go home.
So these aren't like Raytheon or something like that. These are small timers.
Oh, no, they're defense contractors, and that's anything from guys who make guns to guys who pave tarmacs at military air bases, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're all, I mean, they've given him things like cash, yachts, club fees, boats, vacation expenses, bribery, just money. It's amazing what they've given him from these guys, that these guys have given, including a Rolls Royce. They gave him a Rolls Royce,
that's
too.
Fantastic.
That's all.
All right.
All that stuff's up front.
All right, there you go. That's George in Wilsonville. All right, listen.
I wish I had more names for you there, but I just wasn't prepared for that.
Well, who knew? I guess we should have seen it coming because you are a beacon of information for the people.
It sounded like the Larry King show here.
Seriously, I was wanting to I wanted to start rolling out the Akron. What's your question for Jim Roop? You know, and just. My name is Larry King, and I then start doing a thing for like a grape ginsana or whatever the hell it is he talked about. So yeah, that was my little Jim Bohannon moment just there. So I had some point I was going to make, but now it's gone. It's gone with the wind, like yesterday's wine. I don't know what it was, except to say that again, you almost in a perverse way have to admire the brazenness of this guy. With the money, he buys the house, and then in the house, he puts all the stolen stuff. I mean, it's almost so F you that, you know, you almost got to salute it, that it's just so in your face, you know?
Well, again, it's part of the complacency. At some point, you feel untouchable because I'm sure there were little tiny indiscretions all along the way from the time he was first elected at age 53 or 50, whatever it was, 1990. Up to now. So he got away with little things. He took a couple of items of bribery. Nobody slapped his wrist for it, so he just kept going and kept going. He felt untouchable at some point and just went nuts with it. Pleads guilty and face the fiddler.
You were talking about, I don't think it's a fiddler that he faces.
He's facing.
It's a guy. Well, you were talking about him slapping with fines. I had this theory. You should actually just give these people a choice of things to be slapped with. Like, you could either be slapped with a fine. You could be slapped with a bandsaw.
A taser.
You could be slapped with a taser. You could be slapped with a variety of fish. You could be slapped with a fire hose. Mm-hmm. You could be slapped with... it was a joke. I guess poorly executed
him.
All right. Well, let's pretend that joke was a lot funnier than it really was.
I thought it was hilarious. So, again, you're a giver.
Thank you. In my head, it was genius.
I don't think I can continue with the rest of my day. My body is racked with hysterical laughter.
And No one likes a smart guy, Jim. Jim Roop in Los Angeles, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. All right, do we have to break here?
I just merged two of the breaks. So you can go for a few more minutes.
A break merger.
I guess we could, yeah.
Well, let's break, and we'll come back. Tim, you feel like doing the top five when we come back?
I'd love to, yes.
All right, we'll come back. Tim Riley will roll out the top, and I've been teasing for like a week and a half. I feel so bad. Every day I'm getting like email from metal dudes, play the list! Slayer, and then like that's it. That's all they did is they just pound out the word Pantera in all caps and then they send the email. We'll do it then. We come back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay there. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Listen to me hit that post. Not even trying. I wasn't even trying to hit that post. It was just sort of a...
Sure you were.
I was sort of laying in.
You just happened to turn on your microphone.
That's what I'm talking about. It's because I feel it. Because I feel the music inside me. Like Stevie Wonder. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. All right, so we just confirmed. Coming up after the top of the hour... We're going to talk to William Carlton. He was a guy who, we had him on the show several times. He's trying to set this world missile command record. We'll find out how that happened. Next hour, if we have a chance, we're going to try to get to this Office Confidential. We have this bad production music to talk about. And then I have this song. We'll try to play it. I probably won't get through it today. But, you know, we love music so much in the show. Music is a huge part of the show. And it's one of those things I always got lectured for over at Entercom, too. But there's too much talk about music. No one cares. You know, it's the power and clarity of the Entercom programming rationale. A building, by the way, which had not one but five music stations in it. Which is no one cares about music. Which is sort of amusing on several levels. But there was this song that came out while we were off the air that I was not able to play. And it's one of those songs that never got played anywhere. Didn't get any airplay. No format played it. And I'm going to try to give it a spin, as they say, next hour, so you all can hear what you were missing out on. But before we do that, ladies and gentlemen, would you please clear the decks for Tim Riley and the top...
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
See how you completed my sentence with the sounder? Yeah. Woot.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count.
Don't you?
And now, after much delay, it is our proud pleasure to present this, a sure-to-be-controversial and provocative top five. From the Rick Emerson Show comes the top five most influential metal albums of all time.
Now, before we go, I want to say that these are not the best, these are not the greatest. You know, you're waiting outside the station with pitchforks, they want to burn me and whatnot. I'm not saying these are the greatest metal albums. The ones you take to a, desert island or something. I'm saying these are the most influential. These are the albums that created a rift, a difference. They are a musical before and after line. They are a line in the sand. So these are the top five most influential metal albums of all time. Let's roll it.
With honorable mention is...
Oh, wait. Oh, hold on. Let me make sure that I have it queued up.
Oh, my.
I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
All right. With honorable mention comes Korn with Follow the Leader.
All right, and I can already hear the, This Isn't Metal Brigade, the gathering outside to cut me. You know, but you're just going to have to be okay with the fact that this is... If you can point to a successful new metal band, and by new I mean N.E.W., like a recent metal band the last 10 years that didn't draw from Korn, I mean, you're a better man than I am. And this is, it casts such a huge shadow. Whatever anybody thinks of new metal, rap metal, whatever anybody wants to think of this kind of music, I mean, one cannot deny the vast, huge change. And Korn weren't the first ones to do it. I mean, there was the, there's Rage Against the Machine, and before that there was Public Enemy and Anthrax, and there was Aerosmith and Run DMC. Everybody knows that, but it has nothing to do. It's that Korn really set the gold standard with this album, Follow the Leader, which had Freak on a Leash, it had Got the Life, it had the Dead Bodies Everywhere, all those songs. And without Korn, you take Korn away, and for good or bad, there's no Limp Bizkit, there's no Papa Roach, there's no Linkin Park, there's none of that. These guys changed the landscape of metal for good or bad. And I know that there's a whole jillion people out there who have a vested interest. They are personally offended by the existence of rap metal. But, you know, you can't deny that it was huge and vastly successful. Loomed large over the musical landscape.
Number five, Metallica and Master of Puppets.
Widely considered by a lot of people to be the greatest metal album of all time. And I don't know that it's the greatest of all metal albums. But I will say that I don't know what would be better. I don't know what would top it. I mean, in terms of sheer pound for pound, moment for moment, musical value. In terms of what they pack into, I don't know, 43 minutes or something like that? I don't know that I could come up with anything that's better than Master of Puppets. You think about it, it's got the title track, it's got Disposable Heroes, it's got Welcome Home, it's got Damage Incorporated. This was the album that really showed for Metallica that you didn't need videos or radio airplay to sell a lot of records. You didn't need to be on MTV. You didn't need to be in the top 40. You didn't need to release radio edits of your songs. All of those things that Metallica later did, all of those things that they then changed, were unnecessary because by this record, they were already going multi-platinum with every release without any radio airplay, without any benefit from MTV. So it really is a huge milestone and a huge monument, this record. These are the top five most influential metal albums of all time.
Number four, Slayer, Rain in Blood.
I'm sorry, I'm just wallowing in Tim saying, say it one more time.
Rain in Blood.
All right.
Slayer, number four.
If Metallica showed that you could have a wide-ranging sound, you could have light and shadow, you could have heaviness and sort of balladry, you could intertwine all sorts of subtle musical changes and all kinds of vibes and atmospheres on a record and be vastly successful while avoiding radio airplay at MTV, Slayer showed you could do one thing over and over, 90 seconds at a time, one album after another. Never change it, never modify it, never alter what you were doing, and end up with more sales and street cred than 90% of the albums out there and metal bands out there. I mean, you will never find anybody who says anything about Slayer. You'll never find anybody in the rock fan community who has one bad word to say about these guys because they kept every ounce of their street cred. Good Lord. Listen, Slayer is actually it's too much rock for the Windows Media Player to handle. It's actually too powerful for our computer to play back correctly. My final comment about this record is that I know that this is an important record in the metal community. I purchased it three different times trying to like it, and every time I took it back to the store, I have to turn it off. Every time I took it back to the store, because so I'm sure Slayer would love that I would go back to the store and I'd be like, okay, sir, I'm ready to buy Slayer, Rain in Blood. And he'd be like, didn't you buy this last week? Yeah, I know, but I wasn't ready. I'm ready now. And so I would take it home, I would put it into the CD player, and I'd last about 10 seconds, and I'd be like, no, it's too much, it's too heavy, the metal is too raw. And I'd take it back to the store, and I'd say, I'm sorry, sir, I'm not ready for this Slayer, Rain in Blood yet. You'll have to take it back. And I was always filled with shame that I could never actually just listen to Slayer. It was too much metal for one man to handle. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Check in at number three is Motorhead with Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades, which one can argue about whether Motorhead is metal or not, especially at this point. But again, you talk about Motorhead and you talk about a band that arguably, they didn't create heavy metal, but they steered it towards what it is today. I mean, look, no matter what you think about anything, that sounds like metal right there. And they were the benchmark for playing fast, for playing loud, for picking one shrieking, wailing tone and just sticking with it for record after record. And plus, this record had Ace of Spades on it. You can't say, what are you going to say about that? Motorhead right there at number two.
And number two, Pantera. With a vulgar display of power.
Listen to that. Like, it's like you're all ready to jock it and talk up the ramp. I feel like the Marconi Show. Hey, UFO.
I think this is his intro, isn't it?
Is it?
It sounds like it would be.
I don't know. I've never heard the program. The biggest compliment and the best compliment you can give Pantera is this, that now everything sounds like this. Everything in the metal world sounds like Pantera. It all has this guitar tone. It all has this production style. It's all got this thickness, and they've all got Phil Anselmo's vocal style. Every one of them. I mean, this is everything they did after this album is sort of gravy. I mean, and their follow-up albums were decent, like Far Beyond Driven was okay, but it's this record right here. All they ever had, even if they'd only ever released this one album, it doesn't matter. This album is all they ever needed to be put out to be on the map. They, regardless of what anybody wants to say, Pantera is the single most influential rock band of the last 15 years. And I'd put him even above Nirvana in that category because everything in the metal world sounds exactly like this and will for the next 15 years. So there you go. Pantera, number two.
At number one, Black Sabbath and Paranoid.
And this is why, because it just sounds evil. He hasn't even started singing and it sounds evil. If I was to play this for an say, is this good or is it evil? You'd know. This is the guy who comes and kidnaps your children and turns them into sausage.
Burned on a warehouse somewhere.
That's, this is the soundtrack of the guy who assaults your sister in the back of a van, okay? You know it's true. This is the sound of the guy who sells meth to your children. It's evil. It's not right. It's not of this earth.
They're not cusses, front lawn.
They're not human. They can't be reasoned with. Black Sabbath and, you know, all of those Sabbath albums, the early ones. But, I mean, Paranoid is... I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, You take these guys out of the chain of rock and there is no metal. They created heavy metal. I don't care what anybody says about Hendrix or Steppenwolf or Blue Cheer. Black Sabbath created heavy metal. All of that freaky half-step stuff came right from these guys. There you go. There's your top five. We'll take a break. We're going to come back with William Carlton, who tried to set a world record with Missile Command. Later on, we'll try to get to a few more musical things. We'll play some truly horrific production music later on as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show.